Current Affairs.
This is Akashwani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, now we bring you a discussion on key highlights of President's visit to Angola and Botswana. The participants are Gurjeet Singh, former ambassador, and Professor Ajay Kumar Dubey, international affairs expert. Moderator is Gaura Dhawan Lal.
Hello and welcome to our program. Our conversation with our experts in the studio today would be based on a roundup on President Draupadi Murmu's visit to Angola and Botswana. Please join me in welcoming Ambassador Gurjeet Singh, who's the former ambassador to the African Union. And we also have with us Professor Ajay Dubey, who's an expert on international affairs. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Wanted to begin with you, Professor Dubey. You know, the president's visit was actually aimed at wanting to deepen the ties between India and African nations. And this has, I think, been a special visit on many fronts. To share some of them with us.
Between India and Africa, there is an old relationship. It is a multifaceted relationship. It's ever-growing relationship. One of the facts that was pointed out by African countries in this ongoing relationship, that there are lesser number of political high-level visits to African countries in the past. Prime Minister Modi, when he took over power, he then addressed this issue. And since then, there had been large number of visits by head of the states and prime minister himself and the different ministers. So this has been one of the concerns that African countries has raised, and the present visit of the president of India to these two countries, Angola and Botswana, is part of that issue. That he has gone and interact at very high level. For the first time that in Botswana that any head of a state from India has gone. So it's an important visit in that context.
Absolutely, and that's a perfect lead-in, sir, for us to move into the opening remarks by the president before her visit.
भारत के 140 करोड़ नागरिकों की ओर से मैं अंगोला की जनता को इस ऐतिहासिक अवसर पर हार्दिक शुभकामनाएं प्रेषित करती हूँ. मैं अंगोला के राष्ट्रपति का आभार व्यक्त करती हूँ, जिन्होंने मुझे इस सुंदर देश की यात्रा के लिए आमंत्रित किया. काल मुझे महामहिम राष्ट्रपति से भेंट करने और हमारे द्विपक्षीय सहयोग की समीक्षा करने का अवसर मिला. हमने अपने साझेदारी को और विविध एवं विस्तृत बनाने की तरीकों पर विचार विमर्श किया.
आई थिंक यू नो लिसनर्स, वन ऑफ द मेजर एरियाज दैट द प्रेसिडेंट आल्सो वाज फोकसिंग ऑन वाज ट्रेड टाइज. लेट्स लिसन टू दैट.
अंगोला भारत की ऊर्जा सुरक्षा के लिए एक महत्वपूर्ण साझेदार है. इसी प्रकार भारत अंगोला के शीर्ष ट्रेड पार्टनर्स में से एक है. पिछले वर्ष हमारे द्विपक्षीय व्यापार ने $5 अरब का ऐतिहासिक स्तर पार किया. भारत अंगोला का औषधियां, खाद्य पदार्थ, रिफाइंड तेल उत्पादन, ऑटोमोबाइल और मशीनरी जैसे विविध उत्पादों का प्रमुख सप्लायर रहा. भारतीय कंपनी रिटेल, टूरिज्म, डायमंड्स, एनर्जी, इंफ्रास्ट्रक्चर, हॉस्पिटैलिटी तथा कृषि जैसे क्षेत्रों में सक्रिय है. इन इन्वेस्टमेंट्स ने अंगोला में आर्थिक विकास को गति दी है और रोजगार के अवसर उत्पन्न किए हैं.
एम्बेसडर गुरजीत सिंह, यू नो, इनवाइटिंग यू इनटू द डिस्कशन, द प्राइमरी फोकस राइट नाउ बीइंग ट्रेड एंड कल्चर, एंड ऑफ कोर्स वी विल मूव टू कल्चर लेटर, द टाइज बिटवीन द टू रीजन्स. What has been your experience? You know, you've written also, as has our other guest, Professor Dubey, who's also written extensively and has a great amount of knowledge about the relationship between the two regions. So, Ambassador Gurjeet Singh, your experience in terms of trade ties and how they've evolved.
So, India's trade with Africa is about $103 billion last year. So, there are only 6 entities in the whole world with whom India has trade of over $100 billion, which is the United States, the EU, UAE, ASEAN, China, and now Africa. So therefore, Africa as a whole is extremely important, but the trade is not concentrated. Bulk of the trade is oil, as the president mentioned in her remarks. And Angola, along with Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, and Gabon, are part of our energy security, which, as you may recall, in 2008, India diversified its sources of energy, in which Angola started playing a role. Of the $5 billion of trade between India and Angola, bulk of it is Angolan exports of oil. So it's a very lopsided, energy-intensive trade. But now, with Angola showing greater impetus to diversify from China and have other trading partners, I think there'll be much more scope for Indian exports, including project exports. With Botswana, it is a diamond-dominated trade, but the trade is not big. It's only about $500 million, and Indian exports are about $170 million. But I think there, too, we could expand, though the population of Botswana is only 2.6 million, whereas Angola is much bigger and a bigger economy as well.
Professor Dubey, talking of trade, and as it has just been foregrounded, that it is on the upward swing. We're also looking at, with the America and China and Russia actually being the major spokespeople and the economic movers and shakers so far, and India is actually coming into its own. We have a huge market, we have great products, and in terms of building relationships with other countries where our products are truly valued. How do you see this expansion and what is the scope?
As Ambassador Gurjeet Singh said, our trade is confined to a few products, few areas, but also it is confined to a few regions. Only 10 countries covers 90% of our trade with Africa. There are 55 countries in Africa. So it's very skewed in favor of a few countries. There is a great potential to expand this trade with countries with whom we don't have very intensive interaction. As he said, we have only $500 million trade with Botswana. So we need to expand the region as well. Angola is a Lusophone country, a Portuguese-speaking country. Bulk of our trade, I say 10 countries that I mentioned, bulk of them, almost all of them, are Anglophone countries. So we need to expand into different areas. We need to expand our reach to those countries with whom we had not been able to develop good trading relations despite having great potentials. So I think Angola and Botswana both are very important for us. Angola, because of energy resources, because of its growing demand for several products that India can now export, and Botswana being a very peaceful, stable democracy where we can reach out, it's a landlocked country, and can expand our trade and economic relations, including investment, with 10,000 strong Indian diaspora, which is English speaking.
Right. So at one level, we're talking about trade negotiations and trade deals, but it goes beyond. It's about people and relationship building, and I think the cultural ties are also deep. Let's listen to what the president said on this.
भारत की सांस्कृतिक छाप अंगोला में भी महसूस की जाती है मुझे बताया गया है कि यहाँ योगा के अनेक साधक हैं, जिन्होंने भारतीय दूतावास द्वारा संचालित योगा क्लासेस से लाभ प्राप्त किया है इसके अतिरिक्त भारत की फिल्में भारतीय टीवी कार्यक्रम तथा तो भारतीय नृत्य शैलियां भी अंगोला के लोगों में लोकप्रिय है भारत अपनी अफ्रीकी पट्टास विशेषकर अंगोला के साथ संबंधों को अत्यधिक महत्व देता है ये पार्टनरशिप समानता और पारस्परिक विश्वास के सिद्धांतों पर आधारित है भारत ने अफ्रीका क्षेत्र के साथ अपने सहयोग को इंडिया अफ्रीका फोरम समिट के ढांचे के अंतर्गत विकसित किया है
सो व्हाइल ऑन द सब्जेक्ट ऑफ कल्चरल टाइज अ गुड टाइम टू ब्रिंग इन डॉक्टर विदुपी नायर हु इज द इंडियन एम्बेसडर टू अंगोला
Angola and India share a very vibrant energy partnership. Angola is a major source of crude oil to India from Africa. In fact, it is the second largest source of petroleum after Nigeria in Africa. They are also a big source of LNG, liquefied natural gas, to India. In fact, one of the largest top five to six providers of LNG to India in the world. Angola is also one of the leading producers of diamonds in the world. And as we know, around 85 to 90% of the diamond cutting and polishing take place in India. And many Indian companies purchase rough diamonds from Angola with this purpose.
Ambassador Gurjeet Singh, looking at the current global scenario where we're actually looking at a multipolar world developing with different areas of control and power being scattered across the world, probably in a more equitable way. India's expression, and I think India's stances have changed over the past couple of years, particularly in ensuring, we've always had good neighborly relations, but I think the expansion and the reach that we are making now and the effort, there is a definite increase in that?
Certainly, it's very visible. And also, I think the responses are visible. For instance, let's take Angola. You know, for many years, Angola was in the Chinese basket on their natural resources for an energy endeavor. But the new president who visited India in May and to whose visit the president has reciprocated now, he has tried to diversify Angolan partnership. So the Americans, the EU, the Chinese, the Indians, all of us have an even chance. And I think that gives us the scope of having Angola deal with us in a more egalitarian manner and therefore be more sensitive to Indian ideas of multipolarity. For instance, you know, there is the Lobito corridor, which Angola was building. That is going to link the DRC, Zambia, critical minerals to the Atlantic Ocean. And that has a very large railway component. Now, in the past, the Chinese would never have let go of that corridor. But now the Americans are in the lead and the Angolans are approaching us to say, will you do some of the railway part of that corridor? So that is already a sign that India is playing a bigger role. And secondly, in both, I think, Botswana and Angola, the fact that democratic traditions and changes of government through electoral politics is taking place is also a symbol of good government. And they therefore look at India as a functioning plural democracy, as a model country to engage with.
Professor Dubey, what has been your experience actually, and what do you feel the sense that is India being seen as a more active player and a more active go-to country for African nations?
Yes, India was a very popular country for them historically also. India acted as a beacon of hope for them when they were fighting for their independence. They looked towards India also for its democracy and diversity management. They looked towards India that from a very poor economy at the time of independence, it has emerged as one of the major power of the world with substantial growth into many areas. And therefore, India is very much appealing to them. India had also been a country which was not engaged in conquest and occupations. India is a country which is seen as always helped Africa from the very beginning of Indian independence. And therefore, India is a very important and friendly country for them. The issue is that several countries of the world are trying to approach Africa to engage them. Do we have the capacity and competitive edge to become their preferred partner? Because besides liking India as a friend, they would also like their friend to help them into industrialization, in their infrastructural growth, into investment. And we have our own limitations, given our serious domestic developmental issues. But there is tremendous goodwill which Prime Minister Modi has conveyed, and there is a serious effort to engage those countries which are important, like Angola, and expand our economic ties beyond these 10 countries, which forms 90% of our economic engagement.
You know, once again, now bringing you in, Ambassador Gurjit Singh, in terms of Botswana, India's relationship with them, and before we invite your remarks, we have India's High Commissioner to Botswana, Mr. Bharat Kumar. We have his views on the president's visit.
It is quite a significant visit, considering the fact that since the establishment of diplomatic relations when they got independence 60 years ago, this is the first time a head of state from India is visiting Botswana. So that way, this is a milestone in bilateral relations between both the countries. This visit will definitely pave the way to further enhance the areas of cooperation, be it health, be it education, be it small and medium scale manufacturing. The opportunities are actually quite a lot in terms of further strengthening our relations.
So Ambassador Gurjit Singh, first head of state visit to Botswana. Why do you think Botswana was also picked by the president, and what's in it for Botswana and for India?
So the first ever vice presidential visit to Botswana took place in 2010, and that additional secretary for Africa, I was a part of that visit. So I have experience of Botswana firsthand, though it was some time back. But the reason why president went there is because I think we value the democratic credentials, the good governance, and the concentration of the diamond trade in Botswana, which Indian traders out of Gujarat particularly have a very strong interest in. After the second India-Africa summit, India had offered to establish a cutting and polishing training institution in Botswana for the diamond industry, but Botswana thought that their private sector could do this by themselves. So Indian private sector and Indian banks in the diamond sector are very strongly engaged, but they alone cannot build a successful economic partnership. Therefore, as the Ambassador High Commissioner said, we need to have a larger number of Indian investment. One of the reasons why trade does not pick up is because neither Angola nor Botswana are least developed countries. And India has a special dispensation for 33 LDCs of Africa for duty-free, quota-free access to the Indian market. But Botswana and Angola, being middle-income countries, cannot partake of that. Therefore, we need to work on a different model than we have with other African countries. Similarly, the lines of credit that we extended to 41 African countries don't really impact Botswana and Angola so much, because to them, these lines were a bit expensive because they were middle-income countries. Though now a line of credit for the defense sector is available to Angola, and we hope they will use it. Botswana is the crucible where India's new Africa policy of private sector-led investment to shape the future of the India-Africa partnership is most likely to take place.
Professor Dubey, the India-Africa partnership, our new Africa policy, keeping all that in mind, what are some challenges that I know, we are looking at good friendship, good relationship, goodwill. What are some challenges that could come, which we might need to prepare for to ensure that these visits actually, reach the height of success that they're meant to reach?
I think India-Africa relationship was very strong so long it was political, diplomatic, cultural. When the economic arm to the India-Africa relationship, in fact, Indian diplomatic initiative in economic area, when it increased, we need to learn gradually from our past experiences. The India-Africa Forum Summit that was started had a heavy dependence both on, in terms of lines of credit. It has heavy dependence on bureaucracy. It has heavy dependence on the fact that it has to have local partnership over there. And most important, the problematic part was that a substantial portion of our India-Africa Forum Summit economic commitment was through African Union under the Banjul formula. That Banjul formula had not been accepted by any other country. We thought that it will give us a very unique position of request-based engagement, but we know it has not worked. Prime Minister Modi has expanded it. But the African Union, which was interested in controlling that relationship, that economic engagement, is out of that control when it has been expanded beyond African Union. Bilateral engagement has got larger share. Then, therefore, we find it difficult to move in the old format of India-Africa Forum Summit, which was due 3 years ago, had not taken place. Currently, Angolan president is the chair of African Union. We are developing good interaction with him. Hopefully, we will be able to organize it somewhere in the near future.
Right.
So the economic relationship is growing, but we need to learn from the past and we need to change as per the requirement of African. They don't want line of credit now. They want more investment. They want private sector to be engaged. They don't want to underwrite their guarantee and cost for that. So we need to find our private sector to engage more and more and promote that in a more aggressive fashion.
So we are saying that, the private sector will invest because they do definitely see it's a capital investment. It'll be human investment. There'll be human capital. And profit is definitely the motive. It's the private sector. But India also has a strategic interest in Africa. So do you think the Indian government will have to make certain provisions to make it attractive for our private sector to invest there?
Yes, I think the government is already doing, and there are initiatives by the private sector also, because Africa is emerging as a major consumer market, as a major market for industrialization and investment. So government of India, through its diplomatic support, through its line of trading, it is supporting that. But the issues remain: the multinationals of the South, will they differ from the multinationals of the North? That Africans are asking. And if they don't differ, then it remains the same story.
Right. I think it's a pertinent point, and we keep talking about the role of India in the African region. And before we take this discussion further, doing a zoom out other than just Angola and Botswana, India's role in the African region, let's listen to what India's High Commissioner in Botswana has said about this.
If you talk about last year's trade figures between both countries, we had a trade of $506 million, primarily diamonds, but a few other sectors like engineering and automobile parts is also there. But I believe there is a further scope for increasing the basket of trade. India plays a very important role in Africa in general and Southern Africa. I believe in times to come, India's engagement with SADC would be kind of a cornerstone for the larger India-Africa relationship as well. Working with countries at a bilateral level within SADC and expanding it to other countries would form the nucleus for further strengthening our relationship with the continent as well.
Ambassador Gurjeet Singh, when we talk of India's role, and earlier Professor Dubey had spoken about the private sector of the North and the private sector of the South, and we would come in the latter category, what are some mistakes that have been made which have actually made Africa turn towards India and say, okay, let's see how we can work together, and what are some things we should be careful about? What differences are they looking for?
So Professor Dubey is right that we need to work more towards the private sector-led initiative. And this is what I call the India Development Initiative, where government comes behind the private sector rather than in front of them and supports them. Even the lines of credit were given bilaterally. It was only a few projects which the African Union was supposed to do, and they did not. Be that as it may. Now, the lines of credit system, due to debt stress in Africa, is not successful anymore. Otherwise, that had taken India's private sector into 41 countries, many more than in the Anglophone East and South, or in the 10 countries with whom our trade is dominated. Having saturated Africa fairly well, we now should look at an FDI-led model where we should go where Indian business wants to go. After all, it is the business motive. So wherever they want to go, we should support them with consulting funds, with support to the banking sector to reduce the cost of local finance and generally reduce the risk that they run. One of these things which we should do is sign more bilateral investment agreements with African countries where Indian companies are interested to invest. Secondly, we must have more double taxation avoidance agreements. Now, these two agreements are entirely in the domain of the government, so we must do them. Other things are in the domain of the private sector. But while Indian trade is expanded to 100 billion, India's investment in Africa is almost $70 to $80 billion. Indian banks are in retreat. They are shutting down rather than expanding. So we need to support our bank to become stronger in Africa so they can support the surge of Indian trade and investment by providing lower cost loans. One of the suggestions I have been making is, why don't we give lines of credit to Indian banks to lend locally in local currency to Indian projects to reduce the risk and the cost of local capital. Secondly, there are currency risks. So we must have our own, insurance program. At the moment, we have the ECGC, but ECGC still follows a World Bank model of which countries are risky and which are not. We should develop our own model of which countries are risky and which are not, and lend and put rates accordingly rather than make them prohibited in countries which are preferred ideas for us.
So you're giving these suggestions. I'm very sure all of them are very valid and very legitimate. Why do you think we're still taking time to implement them? Is it because we are now looking at Africa strategically and maybe economically was the lens earlier? Because, you know, we are looking at expanding global partnerships. Why are we not actually really decreasing the turnaround time on this?
Actually, if you look at the private sector, they are very active. But we have to understand that the bulk of India's trade and Indian investment in Africa comes from the medium enterprise, who are not well known in India. The big guns are only a few, but they don't dominate the actual interaction at the ground level. So when you talk to the investment commission in various African countries, you get the real feel of day-to-day investment and trade decisions taken by smaller Indian companies. These companies are very highly valued because they transfer the most technology, they employ the larger number of Africans, and they contribute the most to intra-African trade and don't focus on Europe as a destination. So these are the advantages of Indian SMEs which Africans value. Therefore, we must find ways of supporting these companies. I don't think we yet have a mechanism where these companies can reach out to Indian government funds other than Exim Bank to help them. And I am looking at consulting funding, I am looking at credit risk funding, and I'm looking at support to Indian banks and what problems they face other than political risk. These are the problems that they face. So where are we going to deal with this? I believe that MEA and Ministry of Finance will work out certain modalities and put them into the plans for the next India-Africa summit, which should hopefully be held next year.
You know, Professor Dubey, inviting you in here to say and help us understand that what we just heard was that it's the MSMEs which are going to play a pivotal role, and that's the value that they place there. But sometimes you may have the want the footprint but may not have the muscle, and that's where we are saying that the government would need support. Do you feel that there is always a strategic component to the government's involvement of wanting now to focus more on Africa, and you see that could be the push for the thrust rather than just economics? Because MSMEs are, even in our internal policies, getting a lot of boost.
I think Ambassador Gurjit Singh is very right to suggest that we must encourage MSME medium-level enterprises over there, and government should support them to go that. But to bring in Ministry of External Affairs and Ministry of Finance, I'm suggesting, I don't agree with him. That will further increase the kind of corruptions that one finds going on through this. And therefore, what we should do is that we should support private sector, medium-level enterprises, and engage African countries to come to India and find reciprocal businesses over here. They always complain that there is just one-way push from India. There is no opportunity for them to come and engage here. So we should try to engage them more and more over here, and then try to promote through private sector and medium-level enterprises, not pumping government money as in the past, because it has not given the desired result. Just coming back to the kind of engagement which we had with government level, that India-Africa Forum Summit, as Ambassador himself was in charge at the time, 50% of our commitment was African Union level, 25% at regional level, and 25% bilaterally. And we have seen that it has not picked up, and we are not in a position to repeat that. And we must move away from that and find more private sector engagement, more medium-level enterprises, small and medium-level enterprise engagement, and more African countries coming to India and engaging economically through various initiatives.
Well, they say dissent is the essence of progress, and I'm so glad we had some dissenting suggestions and views on this program. Professor Ajay Dubey and Ambassador Gurjit Singh, thank you so much, and really value-adding to this discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on key highlights of President's visit to Angola and Botswana. The participants were Gurjit Singh, former ambassador, and Professor Ajay Kumar Dubey, international affairs expert. Moderator was Gaurav Dhawan Lal. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR.
Current Affairs.